Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinis.
I'm Kayla Itzinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. I'm Rachel Donovan, your host this week, and I'm joined today on the line by Declan O'Brien and Anne O'Donoghue. The weather is front and centre again this week, which shouldn't come as much of a surprise, as most farmers are still no further on than they were when we recorded our podcast last week. The turnout is still delayed and fieldwork is very much in the same position. We have lots to cover off this week, from coverage from the first night of our Renewables Roadshow in Cork, to feed rebates that are being offered by co-ops, potato shortages, job cuts at Tierlawn, and details of the new sheep welfare scheme. So basically, our front page this week highlights the effects that the weather has had on both mart sales, milk supply and the tillage sector, and how far behind they are in terms of work and getting seed into the ground. Adam Woods writes that cattle prices have dropped 88 euros a head, I suppose, compared to the middle of the month last month. Declan O'Brien, you have an interesting piece there on milk supplies down, and this is on the back of the weather again.
Yeah, most of the co-ops are talking of drops from 8 to 10%, which is just bananas, really, when you think of it. But it's hardly surprising. The recent haggis survey done for the fodder showed that there was only 4% of farmers had cows out at full-time basis. Half the cows in the country weren't even grazed at that stage. Now, I know that's 3 weeks ago, but we've had nothing but a flood since, so things aren't improving. We've all seen the videos going around about fellas who let cows out to grass and who are ploughing the place. So it's definitely had an impact. I think it's a worrying impact for the dairy sector, because it's compounding all the problems that are there anyway regarding nitrates and everything else, you know, climate change. So it's just another hammer blow for them, really. And the worrying thing is we're getting close enough to peak milk supplies. You know, you're talking peak from the top week of April on to maybe the middle of May. And if they haven't reached peak by then, if the peak is low, you're going to come back from a low peak. So you're not going to make up the ground lost. And the officials with the co-ops are not saying it, I'm not shouting it from the rooftops, but you ask them a straight question, they'll say off the record, these supplies that we lost are gone. They're not going to come back. So if you look at it at an industry level, we dropped 4% in milk supplies last year. We came back from 8.865 billion litres to 8.5 billion litres. If supplies were to drop by 5 or 6% this year, you could see a situation where Ireland will be lucky to top 8 billion litres. That'll be a drop of 10% in 2 years. That has obvious implications for efficiencies, for turnover, for profit levels, for employment. It is right across the board. You take it back then inside the farm gate, and what you're seeing is farmers are only being hit with lower milk volumes, and it's undermining their milk checks that way. But also, the protein levels have collapsed. There's a lot of farmers not hitting the base of 3.3%. If you don't hit the base, and if your fats aren't very high, you're not going to get the base price. So they've been hammered at every turn. In terms of the industry, just going back to them again for a second, you know, you saw this week in Dairy Gold's results for 2023, you know, they dropped 4.7%. That meant a turnover drop of 15.5% and a drop in operating profits of 40.5%. So those are the things that are happening, and those are the implications of it. And we already saw the implications also this week, but we haven't seen them already. But we've got suggestions that TLN are looking for redundancies. So we're gone from an industry that was gung-ho, that was chased out, that was pushing ahead, to an industry that's, you know, contracting, that's fearful, that's stagnant. And that mood change is really fundamental. You know, it's changed the whole scene. And I think that is a major, major shift. And it's no wonder that Dairy Gold are looking for the derogation to be delayed for 3 to 4 years. You know, that's really saying, lads, we're in snags here if we get another belt to milk supplies. And just on Adam's story, it's hardly surprising, you know, that the cattle prices are back, because this time of the year, the fellas that are most active in the markets are the lads buying for grass. So look at, if they're not able to put armbands on the cattle, you know, there's no point buying them, because they'll be going out, you know, to their bellies in Lutruk. So I think, you know, it is hardly surprising it doesn't change the scene, but it's indicative of the troubles that are all over the place. And I thought in his story, I thought George Chandler summed the whole thing up very well when he said, empty silage pits, full slurry tanks and waterlogged fields. You know, that just put the whole situation into 6 or 7 months still.
Yeah, it does. It does. It sums it up very well. And it's what we're all hearing from farmers around the country. And, you know, and it's not just dairy farmers. It's suckler farmers. It's beef farmers. It's men going out to buy cattle. Exactly. The whole thing really is at a standstill for them. And you could say the same for people trying to buy cattle, to go out on grass, whatever it is. But I suppose, Dick, what I thought, I suppose, and what the co-ops are trying to do for the dairy farmers, they're obviously cognizant of a drop in volumes. So they've introduced these feed rebates for farmers, I suppose, to keep feeding on. And talking to merchants around the country, I spoke to a sales rep in Cork, and he maintains that farmers probably aren't feeding enough. And that's probably from the point of view of dropped volumes and dropped supplies. But it really, grass is gold, isn't it, when it comes to this time of year? No matter what feed you're feeding, it's not going to replicate that. But just give us an insight into what co-ops have done to, I suppose, cut the costs or help farmers with costs there of feed.
Well, I suppose that the, you know, they're all talking of rebates of 15 to 30 euros a ton. You know, that's given farmers a bit of a lift. It's given them a bit of leeway. TLN brought out a more comprehensive package that was offering cheap cash flow finance, you know, and that there would be delayed repayments on that until 2025. You know, so they are doing what they can to get fellas through this. And it could be the case that the lads aren't feeding enough, you know, but is that a function as well of how tight margins are on the dairy side? You know, the cost of production has soared over the last 2 years. And although feed has come back, you know, fertilizer has come back, we have seen on the fertilizer side, the fellas aren't spreading it. On the feed side, it's hardly surprising, I suppose, that they're not feeding enough, because there's not the money in it, or they don't feel that the money is in it to feed on what's required. They would be saying, well, the margin out of the milk would be going back to the creamery in terms of feed costs. So that is one aspect of it. But it definitely, I think, fellas need good weather. They need this thing to turn. They need, next week is given fairly good, and let's hope that we get, you know, dry, windy weather. And because 2 or 3 days could dry the place up, it could turn it inside out. We all know that at this time of the year. And we also know that no matter what you talk about, margins and costs and whatever, one of the things that really hits farmers' moods is the fact that they can't get out and do work. And if they could get cows out, if they could empty the yards, if they could, you know, look into the breeding season with some bit of confidence, start looking at closing places for silage, that you'd feel that the thing is moving on. And I think it would really give farmers a lift. And that's what they need at the moment.
Definitely, Dave. A lot of problems would be solved if Mr. Sun came out.
Yeah, but I think that mass below in Kilrush, I hope he was saying it for the whole country, you know, not just for South Wexford.
Exactly, yeah. And here there is improved weather on the horizon. We heard that from Met Éireann early in the week. I think it's to come into play next week. So that is a bit of hope. And as you say, a couple of days of drying could do a lot of good, and could dry the whole place up, which is what everyone needs. Declan, on page 5, I suppose moving more to the food side of things and potatoes, which most people in Ireland will be have their ears open when they hear about potatoes. There's shortages, seed potato shortages, and it's going to affect yields. Is that right?
Yeah, well, there's what the word is that some lads who are planting main crop have got only 50% of the seed they require. You know, so they're using way off from last year to make up the difference if they've got it. Those that haven't it are just planting less. Now, it's a consequence of Brexit, because we used to get the bulk of our seed potatoes from Scotland. That supplier route has been closed off by Brexit. On the continent, by all accounts, seed potatoes, the prices, the costs are through the roof. So fellas are really struggling. And what the IFA are warning is that this thing is going to be worse next year. You know, so it's kind of a fundamental problem. It's an existential, or whatever you call that word, problem for the industry really to source seed. And they are trying to expand the amount of seed that's grown here at home domestically. But like that has, there's limited scope in that at the moment, you know, and would have to seriously be ramped up to fill the void left by the Scots. So it's a serious, serious issue, and one that's going to bite this year, but is going to really bite next year if it's not sorted out. There's talk that the IFA is looking for a derogation for next year to get the Scots back in, but who knows if that'll come to pass or not.
Yeah, an interesting one to keep an eye on for next year, I suppose, Dec. And I suppose it does all hit home with consumers when there's food shortages being talked about, I think. But anyway, Dec, thanks a million for all that. And you have many more stories in the paper this week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I'm going to come to you now, and you're going to fill us in on what went down in Cork on Tuesday night. You were at the first of our Renewables Roadshow events. It was on in the Clayton Hotel in Silver Springs, County Cork. Well, and what were the big take-home points from it?
Well, Rachel, I suppose first thing, there was over 400 people in attendance at the event, which is a great turnout. And I suppose it shows the appetite for information around renewables. Spoke to a lot of farmers there. Some would be well established in terms of solar on their farms, things like that, and maybe are looking to expand on what they already have. But I suppose a lot of the farmers that I spoke to were maybe more in the idea phase, thinking about it and just wanting more information. But to be fair, most of the farmers I spoke to there were well versed in whatever renewables they are into, whether it was solar, AD, anything else like that. There's loads talked about on the night, lots of different take homes and great questions on the floor from the farmers in attendance. One thing though that really caught my eye, and it's kind of, I suppose, my main story there on page four, where news coverage is of this and there's more coverage further back the paper, was about the capacity to supply the grid if you want to sell electricity back to the grid from your renewables. So a lot of this, I suppose, was talked about in context of solar. And it was a farmer who had solar panels on both his house and his farm that raised this. And it was raised a couple of other times as well. So he was just highlighting the fact that he has panels on his house. He has much larger, you know, panels, more extensive panels on his farm. But his capacity to sell back to the grid is the same on both. So I think kind of the take home thing for this was farmers just to, if anybody is interested in selling back to the grid from micro generation, mini generation, you can be limited by your area. So it all depends on your location, what your capacity to sell electricity back to the grid is going to be. And I just thought that was really interesting, and it was a great take home from the roadshow, Rachel, because you just need this information. These are the kind of things that, look, you can make clever decisions beforehand. So just like Barry Castlin from Teagasc, he's over all this in Teagasc. He was just explaining that lots of farmers would come to him, and you have to apply to find out what your capacity is going to be. It's all limited by the transformer that you're giving the electricity back to. So he said lots of farmers come to him and they've filled out their forms. He put it most simply, and I think it's a great way. If you're doing it from your house, it's an NC6, because that's kind of coming under micro generation. And then if you're doing it from your farm, it's an NC7, because that's coming under mini generation. So just a little bit more off your farm. But you have to submit that form and your fee of €1,000 to ESB, and then you find out what your capacity is to give back to the grid. So a lot of farmers are disappointed. They have lots of ideas about, look, put in all these solar panels and I might be, you know, any excess, I'll be able to sell it back to the grid, make money off it. But that's sometimes not the case for people. I spoke to a farmer there on the night, had kind of a mixed enterprise, bit of beef, mainly spuds and a small bit of tillage as well. And he had applied for his TAMS for solar, and he had all kind of his plans and stuff in place. And it was very interesting for him, as spuds is his main enterprise. So most of his electricity generation is not during the summer, because it's for refrigeration for the potatoes. So I suppose the summer months where you're generating the most solar, he'd have great capacity to get back to the grid. Now, he said when he first had applied and gotten it back from ESB, he was slightly disappointed, maybe that he thought it would get a greater capacity. But speaking to people on the night, I think he came away much happier, because he realised some people really had a much more limited capacity. So, you know, lots of take homes like that, Rachel. That's just kind of something in a bit more detail, but there's loads of different things, from three-phase smart meters to insurance, and a great breakdown there as well from Barry Castlin, I think is really interesting. It was kind of more towards the end of the talk in terms of how beneficial economically it is for the sectors to supply anaerobic digestion. So loads of information. Mostly saw plenty of people pen to paper there, taking down their notes and things like that. So the next one is coming up on Tuesday. Kenny, I believe you're away to it, Rachel. So it'll be an interesting one. Yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what different questions come up for different people in different areas. But that's an interesting one about the capacity, Anne. And it is, as Barry Caston described, a disadvantage. And it's disappointing that just because you're in a rural area and depending on your geography, in rural areas there's more space for solar to go on, whether it's the roof of your shed, the roof of your house. And I suppose a big part of the supply could come from rural parts of Ireland, but they're just not set up, it seems, to move it onto the grid.
Absolutely. And for want of kind of a better term, it's kind of an air code lottery. Literally, it just depends on very localised which point you're giving back to the grid on. So it's just different.
And how far you are away from or that transformer, as you called it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that part, as you said, it is a bit disappointing and it is a bit of a juxtaposition. You know, you're trying to give back renewable energy to the grid and you're limited. And I suppose another point that was made on the night from farmers was that you could pay to upgrade the grid. But at the end of the day, I suppose a lot of farmers are reluctant to be out of pocket to upgrade the grid because they feel like this is just a disadvantage of my geography. You know, someone a couple of miles the other side might not have to do this, so that's a bit of a disappointment for farmers.
They're probably looking into sorting this out, and I suppose it's at the start. Renewables is only really getting going in Ireland, but still there are lots of opportunities there for farmers to come to these events and take home and see what they can do in their farm and find out a bit more. Definitely, as you say, given the turnout, a lot of farmers interested in this particular area, and I suppose that kind of diversification on farm. But and we will move on now to the new sheep welfare scheme. Give us the details and I suppose the deadlines that farmers need to be aware of.
Yes, Rachel. So a bit of good news in one regard, as in money for farmers, which we like to see. So the National Sheep Welfare Scheme is open and it's an €8 per yoke payment for farmers. To be eligible, I suppose, to get that money, you have to complete two actions, and there's kind of, you have to complete one from each category. There's two, so you either have to shear or body condition scoring, that's category A, and then category B is clostridial vaccination in yours and then plunge dip in yours. So one of either of those. So positive news. On the other hand, though, Rachel, a story you covered yourself during the week, the ICSA are saying for hill sheep farmers that this deadline is unworkable. So these actions would have to be complete by October. And a lot of hill sheep farmers don't bring flocks down until the end of October. So it doesn't really work for their system doing that. So I suppose, as with everything, you know, there's a bit of reaction to it. Darren Carty has in the Inside Back page on page 67, he has all the details of that there. If anybody has queries, questions, anything like that, it's well worth giving that a read, and the full breakdown of it is there. So if anybody just has questions on it, it's a good place to start.
Yeah, and just to note, Anne, on page 5 as well, I see that you wrote that there's been a new CEO appointed to Animal Health Ireland, and I suppose there's been a few movers and shakers of late, and just yesterday we learned that John Daly is stepping down as CEO of TIP Co-op. He will be moving away from that role. Larkin Roach Kelly had it online yesterday, and I'm sure there'll be more coverage of it in next week's paper. And the man moving into that role is Don Hunter. So John Hunter is going to be interim CEO for the time being, and he's currently CEO of Moorpark Technology. So that's the news we have on that, and the latest we have on that at the minute. The other interesting story that our AgBiz editor Larkin has in this week's paper is the job cuts announced by Tierlawn, and Declan mentioned it there, the redundancy. So a very interesting story. But just, Anne, before we finish up, the weather again, we'll start with the weather and we'll finish with the weather, but you have a piece there on more intense rainfall, I suppose, forecast into the future, or that's what Met Éireann are saying. What exactly are they talking about?
Yeah, so I spoke to climatologist and Met Éireann Paul Moore, and I suppose this was more looking, Rachel, into the kind of longer term and behind the science of our current weather. So it was really interesting. I suppose given the weather woes the last while, some farmers mightn't want to read this, but at the same time, knowledge is power, and it's good to know, I think, what is coming down the tracks against you in terms of the coming years. So look, they said the projections, there is going to be more intense rainfall in the future, weather is going to kind of projected to be more extreme. And again, great to talk to Met Éireann and the climatologists in there, because they back all this with science and their projections. So especially the autumn and winter, Rachel, they are going to get wetter. But at the moment, the spring, summer isn't projected to get warmer. If warming increases, they will get drier and warmer. But at the moment, that's not the case, which kind of makes sense when it comes to our current weather, what we're dealing with. So he just kind of gave the examples about two reference periods, Met Éireann. So they compare weather between these two reference periods, or say between the current weather and the last reference period. So if you're looking at the period from 1961 to 1990, right, that's reference period one. The second one then is 1991 to 2020. And in that period, so the temperature rose by 0.7 of a degree, but rainfall increased by 7%. In those two periods, and that's only to 2020, that's not taking in any of the kind of rainfall the last few years. That's significant. So I suppose the science behind this, given we'll take kind of March and that really rough month on the weather. For me as a person, I would find it, list some people will be listening to this now and they'll be switching off this podcast, Rachel, because they would like to want to hear. But I find for even myself, I like to know why this is happening, and I feel like I can process things a bit better. So maybe there'll be a few more like me out there. There's kind of two reasons for the weather. One is a constant one, is that the sea temperature is rising, and most of our weather comes from the North Atlantic, right? So when the sea temperature rises, there's more moisture in the air, and then that more moisture in our weather systems, which leads to more air. Because you learn it first thing in geography in school, weather comes in there from the southwest across the Atlantic. So obviously, if there's more moisture in that system, we're going to get more rainfall. But there has been a weather phenomenon for March of the last 2 years that has caused this intense rainfall. And I have it written down here. So it's a breakdown of the stratospheric polar vortex. It sounds very complicated, but I'm like, look, we're here, we're on page 9. If anybody is super interested in all this, give it a read. But basically, what this means is this stratospheric polar vortex breaks down, and it causes high pressure over colder regions. This displaces a jet stream to the south and pushes low pressure in over the south of Ireland, right? So that's why you're getting that concentration of rain there in around the south. It's bringing low pressure in around there. So that's what's causing this poor weather. I asked Paul, I said, Paul, like, what's the likelihood of this happening in the future? Like, so he said this happened the last two Marches. So that's kind of why we've had, you know, this year and last year. This year, I suppose, there was actually more rainfall last March. You may have read that, but that was really interesting, you pointed out. But because we've had such constant rain since about July, since the end of that drought, the ground's just saturated. It can't take it. So we've actually had less rainfall this March, but just the ground can't take it. Said Paul, what's the likelihood of this happening in the future? Can't predict it. He said, kind of, it's in maybe an every other year type of thing. They don't know, you know, as in long-term forecasting, like even that far advance, how likely these things are happening, again, don't know. But I suppose, speaking of the mass in Wexford, maybe we could have a mass sometime coming up when, if things have calmed down a small bit, that this stratospheric polar vortex mightn't come again next year, because do you know what? It'd save us all a lot of hassle. But I think, Rachel, do you know what? Leave it. We started with the weather, as you said, ended with the weather. But flick your eyes over to the other side of that page. Vaughan Walsh is another story from Met Éireann. Drier weather on the way. I think that's I agree. Best way to end the podcast. They're saying about the 17th of April. So keep the child of Prague in the window.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it's as Declan noted earlier, it needs to come good and quick and dry the place up. But I suppose it is important. It's very interesting on that story, and so it's important that farmers are aware of what's coming down the line, and they do need to know, I suppose, why we're getting the weather we're getting. And you mentioned there that the ground this year just wasn't able for the rainfall in March. If you looked at February last year was a very dry month. I think in Tip there was 15 mils of rain for the whole month, and there was 170 mils, I think, this February. So I suppose
you probably was getting 10 mils some days in March. Like, that's nearly,
you know,
not
yeah.
far off all of last year. Like,
so if you wanted to frighten yourself, go look at the figures on Met Éireann for the monthly rainfall figures, and you'd understand how the ground is so saturated, and how farmers just can't do anything or get any stock out. But anyway, as we said, good news on the horizon, good weather coming next week. So that's hopefully when we're on the podcast this day next week, we'll be talking about more work that has been done and farmers getting stock out and whatnot. But that's it for today. That's all we have time for. Thanks again, Anne, and thanks to Declan, who was on earlier. We'll chat to you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.